yesterday's screening. It was the opening ceremony of Generation K+, and the opening film was Paper Planes. So it's great to have you here and your crew in Berlin. How did you like it at the Haus der Kultur in der Welt?
Oh, the screening was amazing. I mean, having 800 kids there was fantastic. I know the young actors were a bit overwhelmed by it, you know, afterwards signing signatures and... But, you know, it's always interesting. You make a film in Australia about an Australian kid and goes on this journey to Tokyo, but you don't know how people in another country will react. And it was just fantastic to screen it yesterday. We loved it.
And we heard yesterday it was a world premiere of the movie. So even at least one of your main actors hasn't seen it yet, and he was overwhelmed as well.
Yeah, Julian Dennison from New Zealand hadn't seen the film yet. And it's massive for a young, you know, 12-year-old. He's coming to Berlin for the first time. He's travelled 30 hours from Wellington, New Zealand to be here. He's only a little fella. He's in this crowd with 800 people cheering at the end of the film. I think he was a bit taken. He was really overwhelmed. It's an amazing performance from him. Great performance.
So let's come directly to the movie. Like one of the kids asked, is this real? Are there tournaments with paper planes? So how did the paper planes come to you?
Yeah, there are competitions around the world, and this film was inspired by a young guy who represented Australia in the World Championships. He came third, and he and his friend James, they were our advisors on set. You know, they really helped teach the kids how to make paper planes, you know, design the paper planes in the film. It had a massive impact on it. They were fun. But we built a specific competition that doesn't exist in Tokyo for our film. Like, we created it. But there are competitions, yeah, definitely.
And you attended one of the competitions and said, yes, that's a movie.
Yeah, look, you watch it and you go, you're watching kids folding planes, throwing... I mean, we live in a world where there's so much technology. Kids have got so many toys and gizmos. The idea that a piece of paper can cause such joy... that you can fold it, that you come up with a new idea for a different fold, you throw it, it goes further. That's fantastic.
And there's these lines like Ed says in the movie, why do you like it, when his father asked? Because as long as it flies, I can forget everything, this.
Yeah, I know that was one of the things. I think all kids' films, it's good to have some serious stuff. There's a lot of comedy in it, but... You know, I was really interested in the idea of a story about a young boy who affects his father. It's like a reverse parenting story. His dad's hopeless, you know, and he as a young kid works out how to bring his father out of a depression. I think young kids really like to have themes that are challenging, you know. I've watched the film with lots of kids. They are really up for much more than I think sometimes we think as adults.
That's great. So because we have the paper plane competition, we have friendship, which is developing in the movie. First he was bullied, kind of, and then they come together. Nice, yeah. Idea.
Yeah, look, that idea of bullying too, you know, I've always thought, you know, with my kids, and if there's someone bullying, you always go, well, there's something else going on for that kid. You know, to teach kids to be a bit compassionate towards, you know, people, and also to stand up, you know, to bullying. So there's lots of themes about that in the film, and about friendship, how you make friends. I love that this young Australian boy meets this amazing Japanese girl, you know, played by Anna Imai, and makes this friendship with the Japanese champion. I also love, you know, the idea that children, you know, that the world opens up through travel, you know, that you can actually see the world and, you know, move out of where you come from. For Australians, the rest of the world is a long way away. So that was a fun piece, you know, to actually have the last third of the film set in Tokyo.
But it's only, like we heard yesterday, it's only part of the crew going to Tokyo, yeah, and film it there. It was too expensive to yeah, find the places?
Yeah, we filmed in Tokyo with a small second unit crew. We looked at the logistics of it. It was just very hard, you know, to actually take the whole crew to Tokyo. But we did a really good shoot. A lot of the beautiful sequences in Tokyo were directed by Nick Myers, who's my long-term collaborator and editor, and Bonnie Elliott, the cinematographer. I think it looks quite wonderful. But we used Japanese gardens and Japanese locations in Perth, in Australia. There's a big Japanese population there.
That's a nice thing. So what I like as well is, like you said before, the boy's dealing with all these things, with the death of his mother, with the loss, and he's dealing with his father. At the beginning, very funny, in the morning, I see father, he's still sleeping, I have to wake him up before I leave, so something like that. And in other scenes we can see him co-op much better with the death, with the loss. We see him, maybe I thought there could be some tears when the father is watching the scene at the beach with the mother, but you didn't like that idea?
I love this idea that, you know, children deal with tragedy often, you know, maybe a grandparent or maybe their parents separate, or and how they deal with it, in my experience, can be quite wonderful. You know, I love the idea that children have amazing capacity to deal with things, and that in our story, the father hasn't been able to deal with it. You know, there's a scene where our young hero says to his dad, you know, I'm 12. You know, and I've got over this. Come on, mate. You know, it's a, and I love that idea that that this young child has actually, in quite a mature way, you know, embraced the grief, you know, that he feels for the loss of his mother.
Was there a role model for this figure?
Look, there's a lot of inspiration for me in the film. I mean, the mother, you know, my mother was a piano teacher and she died far too young. And, you know, I think, you know, that when you make a film, you're trying to tap into stuff, you know, personal things in your life. You know, amazing privilege to work with the grandfather figure, who's my father-in-law in real life, Terry Norris. But that was another thing that really interested me, was the role grandparents have now, you know, with both parents working. You know, grandparents have a massive role with children. And so I created this 84-year-old cheeky, mischievous, naughty character.
It's a funny grandfather, yeah.
Yeah, right. He's really good. He's amazing. He's 84. And he's just acted in 5 features this year at 84. He's in a film with Kate Winslet, a film with Pierce Brosnan, a film with Radha Mitchell. He's 84. He's done 5 features in 1 year. Amazing. An inspiration.
An inspiration, for sure. And how did you find your crew? Because we have had seen at the Berlinale with 2 short films, which winner films.
Look, Ed's an amazing actor. Incredibly, 20 years ago, I directed a short film that launched my career with his parents acting in it. So, you know, the thought that 20 years later I'd direct their son is amazing. My wife's a casting director and she found these amazing kids, you know, Anna Imai, the Japanese actor, and Julian Dennison. The film was always going to stand and fall on having kids that were amazing. And the great thing with Ed is he's become a movie star. He's in a Disney film with Steve Carell. You know, he's done M. Night's next film. We couldn't believe our luck. Not only did I have an amazing kid, but he was also a star.
And he developed. So when you see the first movie and the second short movie he's in, so he developed acting.
Yeah, look, the fact that he's been here, well, he hasn't been here personally, but his films have, the 2 short films, Julian and the Amulet, in the generation section. So the audiences here yesterday were coming up, people who'd seen those shorts, and you get to really see the evolution of an actor, you know, through the different films. As you say, you see them get more skillful as an actor. Yeah.
So when I look at your films, I always find a political note about saying criticism of Australia film industry, what we could do better, be better, support more films and this. Is this very important for you, or what could be improved?
Look, I think it's important that Australians see Australian kids on screen as the heroes. You know, we've got so many American kids films. And I just really worried with my young kids, you know, going, they're only ever seeing American films in the cinema. The heroes that they're seeing are all American, you know, and I thought that's crazy, you know. I needed to make a film for them, you know, where the heroes were Australian kids. And I think that we're going to see a lot more of those films. And now, exciting to see the reaction last night. Hopefully we'll see those films traveling around the world. There's a lot of interest coming out of Berlin, so hopefully we'll see the film screen in lots of other countries now.
So what's your next project?
Actually looking at another kids film that's about the sea, actually. It's about I feel like the idea of the health of the sea is something that interests me, you know, and kids love kind of marine life, and, you know, the Great Barrier Reef is in jeopardy in Australia. It's in danger from global warming. So I'm just exploring that at the moment. I haven't quite worked out exactly, but I'll work on that next when I get back to Australia.
Maybe, I don't know about the timing, I think some people are waiting. Maybe one last thing I didn't like so much was, I knew it was important after the phone call for the father to come. Yeah. But I would have liked it if he would be there in the classroom with the other kids in front and waving something. Why did he have to come?
We explored that. That's a great question. We had lots of drafts where he was just in the classroom waving, and but it felt like it needed to complete itself with the two of them together emotionally. It's one of those things where, you know, you really kind of grapple with how to end a film like this, you know, and I just felt like I needed to see them hug. I needed to see them physically be together. It's a massive journey that this young kid goes on to bring his father out of his depression, and at the end of the day, I did make that option. But the version you suggest, I wrote that. There is a draft like that, so it's a really good question.
Okay, so thanks for the interview.
Thank you. Lovely to talk to you.
With your movie.
Yeah, thank you so much.